grab your Bible, would you? Grab your Bible. Would you please turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6? It's kind of a tricky book to find. It's like after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6. Hold your place in Revelation chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 6, Revelation chapter 12. If you found Ephesians, give me a loud amen in the house. Amen. Come on. You still finding it? All right. Ephesians chapter 6. Can't wait too much longer. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 11 in just a second. Let me kind of get us up to speed. I know some people are here that weren't here last week or didn't listen last week, weren't here the week before. And we're in week number 3 in our series called Keys to Spiritual Growth. Again, I've been saying this every week. Anybody in the house, anybody watching online want to grow in your walk with Jesus in 2021? Come on, if somebody raise your hand there. You want to grow in your walk? It really bugs me when people say, Pastor Steve, you haven't changed in like 5 years. No, I want to change. I want to get better. I want to grow deeper in my walk with Christ. And that's what the series is about, 5 weeks. This is week number 3. Week number 1, we talked about the Bible, my food for spiritual growth. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The Bible. How many are fired up about the Bible? Not billions of books that God gave us. He gave us one book. And Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul, making wise simple people. I love God's word. Fired up about God's word. Anybody fired up about God's word? Yeah. And we talked about the Bible, my food for spiritual growth. Last week we talked about grace. Anybody grateful for grace? God giving us things that we don't deserve. God giving us joy and peace and purpose and happiness and a home in heaven. And I love the grace of God. It's the climate for change. And today we're going to talk about Satan, the enemy of spiritual growth. Satan, the enemy of spiritual growth. You know what the enemy's okay with? The enemy's okay with you at one time in your life saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I say yes to the Lord. He doesn't mind you being born again. He doesn't mind you being saved. He doesn't mind you being kind of ordinary or average or comfortable in your Christian life. He doesn't mind you being lukewarm, coming to church once in a while when it fits in, reading the Bible occasionally. But he gets really threatened when he finds a tongue-talking, Bible-believing, gospel-serving, radical sold out, not lukewarm, but like fully committed follower of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody like that? Yeah. In this service. So he's okay with you like being okay, but he gets really bummed when you just like go all in for Jesus Christ. And that's what I want a pastor church that's all in for Jesus Christ. Do you want to be that kind of church? Don't you want a pastor and leaders at your church that are just not like, it's kind of cool. Yeah, he's done a couple. No. I want some leaders in our church that are just like on fire and fuego for the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And we're going to talk about like the enemy wants to prevent that from happening. Again, the enemy just wants you to come to church randomly when it fits in your calendar. He wants you to read the Bible periodically. He doesn't want you to share your faith. He wants you just to be average and normal. And we're not looking at any of those kinds of people. Are we here in the service? No, we're not. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, be strong in the Lord. Why are you trying to do it in your own strength? Be strong in the Lord. How about this section over here? We need to be strong where? In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Love that. That my energy, my vitality, my vibrancy for my walk with Jesus comes from being strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Last time I checked, the grave couldn't hold him down, right? And check this out. The same power, the Holy Spirit, that rose Christ from the dead lives in me and lives in you. So I can be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Man, I could stop right there. That's a great sermon. Verse 11 says, so put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's what? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Do you know that we are in a war of epic proportions? See, if you are an Israelite and you are born, the second you come out of your mother's womb in Israel or in Palestine, right when you come out of the mother's womb, even though you don't know it or understand it or can't even comprehend it, you're in a war. Right? You're in a war. And Israel's fighting against Palestine, and Palestine's fighting against Israel. And they're fighting about one thing. What are they fighting about? Land. And the second that you said yes to Jesus Christ, for me it was 1985, you and I were born into a war of epic proportion. What is the fight about? It's not about land, it's about glory. It's about glory. And God says, I will share my glory with no one. And the enemy says, I want some of the glory. And God says, no. And he says, no, I will be like the Most High God. And God's like, out of heaven you go. But we're part of a battle. We're in a war. But we're not in a war against flesh and blood. Look at me. This is so important. Your problem is not your spouse. No, you don't know him. He's just like, he's so lazy. He never does anything. He never picks up his underwear. She just like nags. I'm like, nah, 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 nah. She's like a dripping faucet. My kids just drive me crazy, and they never do their chores. I mean, and my parents, they're just like so controlling. They're like helicopter. No, no, your problem is not your parents or your pastor or your pajamas. Your problem is the enemy of your soul and demonic forces that are coming against you. Coming again. We're not fighting against people, and we make a mistake when we think that people are our problem. No, they're a conduit of the enemy and demonic forces wanting to use your family to destroy you. So you need to understand this, that everything physical is influenced, caused, or provoked by something spiritual. I'm going to give you three things. Number one, here's the outline. I don't usually ever do this because I love you. I'm going to give you all 3 points up front. Number one, we're going to talk about the person of Satan. Number two, the plan of Satan. Number three, the power over Satan. How many of we got some power over the enemy? The person, the plan, the power. The person, the plan, the power. Type that in the chat line, those three things. The person, the plan, the power. Let's first of all talk about the person. Look at this verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Here's what God's word says. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. Notice, be alert and of sober mind. Realize this, you're not fighting against people. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Check this out. The enemy, you need to understand this, he is real and he is powerful. Not more powerful than God, but he's real and powerful. And I think we make two mistakes. Here's what C.S. Lewis, the great theologian and author, said many years ago. He said, there are two equal and opposite errors to which we can fall into about Satan and his demons. One is to disbelieve in their existence. There is no demonic forces. There is no spiritual realm of darkness. But the other is to believe, but to have an unhealthy interest in them. They're equally pleased with both views. Who is? The demons and the enemy are equally pleased with these two views. A hypersensitive, like there's a demon behind every bush. Do you know Christians like that? I got a flat tire one time, and the lady said, your problem is you have the demon of flat tire. I'm like, no, I ran over a nail. That's what happened, okay? And there's people like, there's weird Christians out there. I'm telling you, not at this service, but you should have come to the nine. There are some. You know what I'm talking about? Like there's a demon behind every bush and that's not healthy. But to act like they don't exist isn't healthy either. So C.S. Lewis says, hey, we make a mistake when like we don't believe that they exist at all, or we're like, we think they're like everywhere. There's people like that. Like, I just can't get a job. It's like the end, demonic forces. No. You're angry and abrasive and you have never turned in a resume and you're not hireable. So it has nothing to do with demonic forces. You are just not a good candidate for this company, right? I'm like 32 and I just can't get a date anywhere and I've tried all these websites and stuff. No, it's not because of the demonic forces. Just like, how about take a shower and brush your teeth and wear a nice outfit. And if you smell better and look better, she might think you're a good-looking guy, or get a job, okay? It has nothing to do with demons. It has something to do with you. Not everything's the demon. Not everything's Satan. I think the enemy has bigger things to worry about than, right? And we attribute like everything to Satan. Everything. No, that's unhealthy, but we need to understand, listen, that he is real and powerful. I'm always sick. And part of that could be demonic forces, but part of it could be that maybe I eat too much fast food, I don't get enough sleep, and I'm stressed out all the time. Maybe it's not demonic. Maybe it's just something practical that I need to consider. But he is real and powerful. Notice, be sober, be alert, sober mind, because the enemy prowls around like a roaring. Notice it doesn't say koala bear. Because they're just so cute. Aren't they the cutest things? Like, oh. But he's not like that. He's like a lion. They say that you can hear a lion's roar over a mile away. That's intimidating. Notice that he's prowling around. He's not sleeping or chilling. He's prowling around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Like a lion, his voice is paralyzing. How many of you hear voices in your head sometimes that aren't yours, but it's demonic things saying, you'll never amount to anything, you're a loser. And if people really knew who you were, I can't believe you're a leader at the church and you're a pastor and you thought like that, there was a lustful thing. And I mean, there's demonic things, right? And his voice is paralyzing. Hey, do you remember in elementary school, like, I remember a couple times, like the biggest kid in the school. How many know there's always this one kid, like he's in fifth grade, he's got a mustache already in fifth grade. And I was like a really short kid. He's got a mustache and two kids of his own in fifth grade. I'm like, he's huge. And he comes right, he says, Steve Abraham, I'm gonna beat you up after school. And when you hear that paralyzing voice, you're like, oh. And he tells you like at 8:30 in the morning, right? And you can't think or add or subtract or write or read, or you don't want to eat anything. You're just like so concerned about getting beat up after school. It happened one time in the third grade. Kid came up to me and said, I'm gonna beat you up after school. Meet me at the flagpole. And finally I built up enough courage and I went to her and I said, listen, sweetheart. I'm just kidding, that's not true. You know, the true story in seventh grade, a kid just, I was sitting in the back of the class and the door was open and a kid came by. He said, after school at the flagpole, I'm gonna beat you up. And I was just like freaking out. Just the voice of an enemy. And the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Second thing is the plan of Satan. The plan of Satan. Check out verse 11 again. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Look at this verse on the screen, 2 Corinthians 2:11. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not aware of his schemes. Say the word out loud. What is it? Schemes. If you watch the two football games later on today, either Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or somebody, not going to be Derek Carr, but sorry. So you'll see, like, let's say, the Packers, they go out, they get the kickoff and they run three or four plays and they have to punt the ball. And then, so they punt it to, who are they playing again today? They're going to punt the ball anyhow. So Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady goes off to the sideline and they sit down and then the offensive coordinator comes over, the quarterback coach, and they hand them, it almost looks like an iPad. It's like a blue thing. And then Tom Brady will be looking at like the last series, the last four or five plays that they just ran. Because it's also like a video camera of the last four or five plays. And you'll see on the sideline, they're still playing, but he's looking at, oh, okay, oh yeah. So I went back to pass and the receiver went like that. And then the safety came up and they're looking at the tendencies of the defenses. They're looking at the schemes of the defense. And then the defense, all week they've been preparing for Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, and they're looking at the schemes of the tendencies of the offensive line and the coordinator and the receiver, and it's all about schemes. Because if I understand your schemes, I could be more effective in the victory. And the enemy knows, he knows your scheme. Well, he has schemes. How many know that some things the enemy comes after you for aren't really a big deal? Like, I don't struggle in the same area that you struggle with, but some areas that I struggle in, you're like, that's just not a big deal. And he's so wise, he has schemes against us. He knows our tendencies. He knows our weakness. And he has schemes. I want to share three schemes. Are you ready to write these down? Here's the first scheme of the enemy. Number one, he disguises. He disguises. Write that down. He disguises. Check out this verse. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, for Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. So he transforms himself into an angel of light. We think that he's light, but he's actually darkness. We think it's true, but it's actually a lie because he transforms himself into an angel of light. Disguise. Now check this out. If you think that the devil, like he runs around with like a red jumpsuit and a pitchfork and pointy ears, that's him. No. He appears a different way. He looks good, but again, in the end, it's a lie. It's a disguise. So I was thinking in my office this week, like, what are some of the biggest disguises of the enemy? These are going to come really quick, but under the disguise there, let me just give you five things really quick, okay? Number one, he makes little things big. He makes little things big. Let me illustrate this. So Friday night, we had first things first. It was powerful. By the way, right after the service, we hadn't eaten for 3 days, and I went into my office, and Samuel Rodriguez didn't eat all of his charcuterie. In fact, I don't think he ate any. And I had like two or three black olives. And after not eating for 3 days, the black olives tasted like a Kansas City ribeye from Mastro's. It was a black olive. I'm like, oh. And then the three of us went to a taco truck after that. And I don't know if they were the best tacos I've ever had in the history of the world, or it was just I hadn't eaten in 3 days. They were phenomenal. And then right after we ordered, like the whole band in our church, they showed up too, and the tacos were amazing. And the torta that they had looked so good, I'm going back tonight. So first things first, it was just powerful and it was just awesome. We had a great time. And then just imagine the next day, you're having breakfast with your wife or your husband. You're just sitting there and just having a great time talking about how great first things first was. It was so powerful in the message and the worship, and here's what God spoke. And you're just having a great time. I love you too, baby. Oh, your eyes are like pools of sapphire. And then, breakfast is kind of winding down and you're like, so what time are we leaving? You're like, leaving where? Oh, remember last week you said that after breakfast, we're going to go to First Things First, but after breakfast, then you were going to take me shopping. We're going to go to the outlets in Camarillo, do a little shopping. Then we're going to go see a movie together and then have dinner. Don't you remember that? And he's like, huh? I never said that. I told you like Monday night. Don't you remember on Monday night I told you that me and we were going golfing today? Like, we already paid it. We got a foursome at Soul Park in Ojai. I told you on Monday night. No, you never said anything to me. No, I said it. You were looking at you were scrolling on social media. You weren't even listening. I told you on Monday we already got a foursome. We're already going. She's like, you never said that. Now, this has never happened in our home. I just imagine maybe it's happened in your home. And it just started really small. You're talking about first things first. I love you. And then it just starts escalating a little bit. And I never say, yeah, you did. And you never listen to me when I say, you never said it in the first, like, ah, ah. Before you know, you're like, ah, ah. And it started like way down here. It's just like a small thing. And before you know, it was way up here. And if somebody walked into the room listening to you yell at each other, they'd be like, what is going on? It's ridiculous, right? And it would be hard for you to justify. Huh? Come on, it would be hard for you to justify, like, how did it go from here talking about first things first to yelling and screaming at each other? Well, the enemy takes something really small and makes it a big thing. Here's the second disguise, since nobody in the room has ever experienced anything like that. How about this? He makes little things big. Here's the second thing. By the way, he makes little things big. We get so bent out of shape about little things. I text him like 2 times. This week, I texted, they never responded to my text. Seriously, that's it. I'm never going to be friends with them again. That's probably the second time this year that I was walking in the lobby and I saw Pastor Tammy. She didn't even, I said hi and she didn't say hi. Maybe she was not looking at you. You ever thought about that? I tried out for the worship team because my mom thinks I'm awesome. And I tried out, and there was an audition, and I thought I did pretty good, but they said, no, you have a good shower voice, but you're not going to be on the team. That's it. I'm going to go find another church. Well, let me. And this stuff happens all the time in the church. Just like, it's not that big of a deal. So you didn't get invited to a Super Bowl party. Cool. It's one less thing you have to go to. No, it's a big deal, because I know other people that are there. They go to, like, just chill out. And the enemy makes, like, really small things big. Yeah, you're looking at me like that. I'm going to move on. Number two, how about the second thing? By the way, I love that song at Disneyland. When you get on the boat, it's a small world after all. It's a small, how about this? It's a small thing after all. They didn't text me. It's a small thing. I wasn't invited to the party. It's a small, small thing. It's not a big deal. Chill out, relax, take your medication, calm down, not a big deal. Second thing, he takes big, so number one, he makes little things big. How about this? He takes big things and makes them little. So like, I'm a parent, my kid, straight A's every year, he's not gonna miss a day of school, valedictorian, best athlete at Oxnard High School, that's the goal. But he's never at church or youth group on Wednesday night. But he's going to be the best student. He's going to be the most incredible athlete that this county has ever seen. I know, but church isn't a priority. So, like big things, like integrity. No, I'm going to go out and make as much money as I can and sell as many houses as I can, expand my business and have a title and get promoted. And is that like the biggest things in the kingdom of God? Or giving your life away and serving and being a blessing? And so he takes like things that should be big, like purity and integrity and the word of God. And man, I wish we had as much passion and zeal about our personal lives and our business lives as we do over our spiritual lives and the lives of our kids and grandkids. But the enemy takes big things and makes them small. Happiness over holiness. Success over substance. Popularity over purity. Here's the third thing. He gets us to carry tomorrow today. He gets us to carry tomorrow today. I've been preaching my guts out for the last 15 minutes. Some of you haven't heard a word that I've said because you're freaked out about a meeting you have later in the week. You're freaked out that you don't know how you're going to pay the bills. Something on your mind. The enemy's got something on your mind, and you can't let it go. You can't even pay attention. You're looking at your phone right now. You're taking notes about a meeting that you're going to have, and he gets us so freaked out about tomorrow or this week. I got to have a hard conversation with someone, and then we don't hear the word of God. It happens all the time because I can see everything that happens in here. We're hitting each other. We're on our phone. Checking out the NFL. Anything he can do to distract you from hearing the word of God, he'll do. Come on, I'm preaching the truth, aren't I? And he gets us to carry tomorrow today. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, why do you worry about your life? What are you going to eat and what you're going to drink? If I take care of the birds of the air and clothe the lilies of the field, won't I take care of you? So let's stop worrying about things that we can't. There's been times like I couldn't sleep in the middle of the night because I had to have a really hard conversation or confront someone, and I'm just like, man, this is good. So you're up all night, and then you end up having the conversation on Tuesday, and it was just like, actually, it went pretty awesome. And they were really receptive and stuff. Has that happened to anybody? Or you're freaked out about like a bill, or you couldn't pay this, or my mortgage, or, right? And then it just wasn't a big deal when you get, so, but he wants us to carry tomorrow today. Here's another thing. He gets us to carry yesterday today. What I did yesterday, what I said yesterday. I can't believe that I screamed at my husband or my wife, or can't believe that I went back and slapped my kid. What would people in the church, what would my pastor think if they knew what I did? That I was divorced two or three times, that I was in a gang, that I killed someone, that I had an abortion. And he wants us to carry yesterday's issues into today. And the devil is a liar. Your past is forgiven. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. You have a home in heaven. And then finally, he gets us separated from the word of God. I mentioned it a little bit. Has this happened to anybody? You're like, okay, come on. They've been talking about how powerful the word of God is. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, and I'm going to dive into the Bible. Then you wake up at 7 o'clock, and you're just like, just you. Then all of a sudden, your phone rings. Ba-ding! And it's your boss. Oh, sorry, two people didn't show up. We need you to come in right now. You're like, it's just about to read. Or you put the kids to bed and you're like, wait, just me. I'm on the couch. I'm going to get into the word of God. And right when you get into the word of God, little Johnny comes up, hey, mommy, come on. I got to go to the bathroom. Right? Has that happened to anybody? And the enemy will do anything that he can to distract you and separate us from the word of God, both publicly in the building right now, watching online, or privately in your own devotions. He wants us to separate us from the word of God. Why? Because he knows there's power when we dive into the word of God. So number one, disguise. Here's the second thing. Ready? Ready for the second thing? Divide. Divide. He wants to divide. Check this out. Husband, wife, he wants to divide your marriage. Do you know that? And he's not going to stop messing with you until he divides your marriage. He wants to divide your family. He wants to get parents against kids and kids against parents. He wants to ruin families and workplaces and teams. You name it. He comes to bring division. Division. Scientists put a bunch of rats in a cage, and they hooked up an electrical grid at the bottom. And as the rats were just running around drinking a cappuccino, the scientists would hit a button, and it would just the electrical, and all the rats would jump up, and they would start biting each other. They just start, because they didn't know where the pain came from. And then they would take the hand off the button, and then there would be no more electrical charge. They would get back. They start hanging out. Hey, what's up, dude? What's up, dude? Man, that hurt. How about you? That hurt me, too. And they'd start fighting one another. And the reason why they started fighting one another, listen carefully, because they didn't understand where the pain was coming from. And husbands and wife, something happens. You said that. We're out there. Kids and parents. You never clean your room. You never live. We don't understand where the pain's coming from. In the church, it happens in the church. Something goes wrong. We got to understand it's from the pit of hell trying to divide. Here's the third thing, destroy. Hey, would you finish this verse for me, John 10:10? I kind of ran out of time. Just kidding. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the third thing. So again, he's not okay with just like tripping you up a little bit or intimidating you or inconvenience you. No, no, no. He's looking to take you out altogether. Your finances, your health, your family, ruin your dreams, your goals, like everything. He wants to destroy everything, everything. Someone say destroy. So anybody ready for some good news? I'm kind of like, gosh, where's the good news at? Well, here it is. It's found in Revelation chapter 12. Come on, meet me over there. Revelation chapter 12. We're just going to read two verses. I'm there. Are you there? I said, I'm there. Are you there? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. Pay attention. The Bible says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation of the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night. Stop. We have an enemy, and what does he do? He accuses us before God day and night. He looks over and says, hey, God, did you see what Josh did? He's a young adult leader, and did you see what he said? Did you see that thought that he had? Did you see how he responded to his wife? This is hypothetical, by the way, but that's what he did you see Pastor Steve? Like, he preached on Thursday night, and then somebody cut him off on the freeway on Friday afternoon coming to the church, and man, like, inside, he didn't say it outside, but inside he used the profanity. Like, this is a pastor, and he accuses us before God. Did anybody have a sibling like me? I had three siblings, but one of them, my sister, was a tattletale. I couldn't do anything. She's like, I'm going to tell Dad. Get a bad girl. I'm going to tell Dad. You goofing around. I'm going to tell Dad. I'm going to tell Dad. I'm going to tell Dad. I'm going to tell. And we just used to say it like that. I'm going to tell. Am I bitter? Yes, I'm still bitter. 40 years later, I'm going to tell. And that's what the devil does. I'm going to tell. I'm going to tell. I'm going to tell. He accuses us before God. Not every other week. It says day and night. Verse 11. But they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Let me say it a different way. I'm going to give you three things. How do we overcome the enemy? Three things. Number one, the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ. Notice it says that they triumphed over him. Listen, in order to have something to triumph over, you have to have something to triumph and overcome. And his name is Satan. Check it out. If the enemy is messing with you, it's a good sign. Let me say it again. If the enemy is messing with you, it's actually a good sign. Because we have to overcome him. And the Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. So the first way that we overcome is because of the cross of Christ. The cross. Praise God for the cross. The cross by the blood of the Lamb. Not enough worship songs about the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? And oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious. Not enough songs about the blood, not enough sermons about the blood of Jesus Christ, the cross. We overcome the enemy, and this is past tense. It already happened 2,000 years ago by the cross of Jesus Christ, by the blood of the Lamb, the cross. How many are grateful for the cross? I used this illustration before, but just like a week or two ago, my wife and I were at the Oaks, and we went into that bougie store that has like Frappuccino and Cappuccino's maker for like $20,000. What's the name of that store? It's really expensive. But we had a coupon and something. We bought these new pans that you cook with. I like to cook in these new Teflon pans. And like usually we'll go to Costco and get like 32 pans for $7. But these were very expensive, just two of them. But again, we had a coupon. And I've already used them because the old pans that we used to use, they started wearing off, and then so when you make like eggs and stuff, it just like everything sticks, and it's like, ew. You got to clean it out, and you got to soak it in hot water. But the new pans, let me tell you about my new pans. Somebody tell me about your new pans. The new pans, like I just cooked with them the other day, and the cheese was in there and all this stuff, and they're just phenomenal. What used to stick doesn't stick anymore because they're like Teflon pans. They were dipped in a liquid called Teflon. What used to stick doesn't stick anymore. You and I have been dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ. And what used to stick doesn't stick anymore. What used to stick doesn't stick anymore. And check it out. Every lie of the enemy, every falsehood that he's declared over your life doesn't stick anymore. He calls you a loser. It doesn't stick anymore. He calls you an adulterer. It doesn't stick anymore. He calls you an abortionist. Doesn't stick anymore. He calls you sick, worthless. It doesn't stick anymore because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Woo! Spirit of Samuel Rodriguez came over me. Cross of Christ. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Cross of Christ. And he goes on to say, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. I want to frame it this way. The cross of Christ, our confession. The cross, our confession. Testimony, testimony. This is my testimony from death to life. You ever had to testify on behalf of somebody at the court? I've had to do that a couple times. People in the church got busted. Pastor Steve, can you come and testify for me? I've done it. You know, one of the things that overcomes the enemy is our testimony, our confession of Jesus. People are like, Pastor, I'm always like talking to non-believers and they got all these questions and I don't know how to answer it. It's theological and it's doctrine. I don't know what to say. You just say your testimony. Say, I don't know. I'll figure that out. I'll find out for you. But all I know is this. I was once lost. Now I'm found. I couldn't see. I used to be blind. Now I see. All you tell people is, listen, here was my life before Jesus, hopeless and lost. Now I came to Christ. This is what God did in my, and here's how I'm different since I've come to cross. It's your testimony. One of the ways we overcome the enemy is by our testimony. Confession, confession. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, confession. True story of a mother and a little girl. The little girl would never bring her friends over to the house. The little girl would never want the mom to drop her off at school. The little girl would never, she would always go sleep at her friend's house for a sleepover, would never have her friends at the sleepover. This went on all the way through her elementary years and junior high years, and finally the mom was just shattered. She would ask her daughter, like, how come you never want your friends over? How come you never want me to drop you off at your school? Only dad gets to drop you off. It's kind of breaking my heart. And the daughter said, well, mom, it's because of the big scar on your face. She had a big, huge scar on the side of her face. And I'm just embarrassed. I don't want my friends to sleep over and see. I don't want you to drop me off at school because I don't want them to see the scar on your face. And the mom said, well, I've never told you this, but I want to tell you a true story. When you were a little baby, you were in the bassinet. I was out drawing water out of the well. And I looked back and I noticed that our house caught on fire. And just then I dropped the bucket and I ran into the house. I made my way up to the bedroom. I grabbed you. We were both running through the house. At that time, the whole house was on fire and beams were falling down. And as we were getting to the front door, I was holding you in my hands and a big beam came down that was caught on fire. And as I saw almost about to hit me, I threw you out the front door. And the beam hit me on the side of the face and the whole side of my face was burnt. So the mother said, so the next time you don't want to bring your friends over, the next time you don't want me to drop you off at school, I want you to remember what I did for you when you were a little baby. And the next time you want to stay silent at your office, the next time you want to play it safe, the next time you don't want to share your testimony, the next time you don't want to tell people about the goodness of God, God would say, hey, I've got scars in my hands and my feet and my side, and I want to remember what you did. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's my testimony, my testimony, my testimony. I refuse to be silent. Do you know these terrorists that they go and blow up themselves and kill other people? I remember the most recent one that I saw, I don't know what country it was, but not only did the guy blow himself up, he killed many other people. They interviewed like one of the top guys for Hamas. I think it was on Dateline, and the guy said, why would somebody blow themselves up? And he said, no, not only did that guy die, he says, we have 500 other people willing to do the exact same thing. That's scary. That's scary when you're not afraid to die, both good and bad. The cross, our confession. Number three, our, our commitment, our commitment to Jesus, my commitment to Christ. He says, by not loving our lives even to the place of death. Let me just say this real quick. You don't need to applaud, but my wife and I have been married 31 and a half years. June 3rd will be 32. You can send all the gifts to, let me give the, no, I'm just kidding. 31 and a half years. But you don't want to know the strength of our marriage isn't based on a decision we made it on June 3rd, 1989. It wasn't 10 years ago. It wasn't 15. The strength of our marriage is on a commitment we make to each other every single day. You want to know people, why people are married 50 years? Not because 50 years ago they stood in front of a bunch of friends and people in front of a pastor and exchanged vows. That's not the strength of their commitment in marriage. No, it's based on a commitment they make every single day for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years, and 50 years. Check it out. Your strength and your relationship with Jesus Christ isn't based on a decision you made, for me, 1985. It's a decision I make every day. Today, I'm going to serve the Lord. Even if it's hard, I'm going to serve God. Even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to serve God. Can I be honest with you? It's okay to be honest at church. You're not going to think less of me, are you? This is terrible. I didn't really want to come to church today. Is that okay? Like we were Wednesday, probably 15 hours, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I was back here yesterday for an hour. So like, I was just, and after like a spiritual high of Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, I'm just like, I would love to sleep in and not, but I'm not going to do that. The strength of your commitment to Jesus isn't based on first things first on Friday night or Wednesday night or first things first 2017 or a camp that you went to 10 years ago. No, it's a commitment you make every day. Today, I'm going to be in love with Jesus. Today, I'm going to be a fully devoted follower. And then tomorrow, I'm going to do the exact same thing. I've said this before. If every person in our church that raised their hand, that got saved, that came forward over the last 23 years, the Staples Center would not be able to hold everybody. Do you know somebody that was on fire a year ago that not even serving the Lord right now? 5 years ago? Maybe they invited you to come here and they no longer serve Jesus. I got to make a decision every day, Steve. You have to follow Jesus. Every day, you got to read the Word of God. You got to pray. You got to seek Him. That's a commitment. Loving our lives even unto death. I love this. The Apostle Paul is just, the guy is phenomenal. They came to him and said, hey, we're going to kill you. He's like, awesome. To die is gain. They're like, oh, okay, that's not going to work. All right, we're going to let you live then. He's like, cool, to live is Christ. How about this? We're not going to let you live or die. We'll let you live, but we're going to make you suffer as you live. He's like, cool. I reckon that the sufferings of this world can't be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. So here's what he's saying. You want to kill me? You want to kill me? Awesome, I get to go be with Jesus. You're going to let me live? Cool, to live is Christ. You're going to make me suffer? Then I get greater rewards for my commitment to Jesus Christ. Bring it on, homeboy. What you got? Like, what do you got? Like, if somebody kills us, and we're going to heaven. That's not the booby prize. That's the goal. I don't know why, like, I get it. We love parents and grandparents. But, like, if you have a grandparent that dies at, like, 90, and some people are like, I don't know. I could never go to church again. I'm like, no, we're supposed to die. And I know it's hard. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but the goal, if you're a Christian, we're going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever. That's not a bad thing. That's an awesome thing. And our loved ones wouldn't even want to change places with us. Are you kidding me? Perfect joy and peace and the presence of God, they would never want to change with us. And we're like, oh, never going to. Why would God allow that? No, we all die. Everybody dies. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for man to die one time and then we face judgment. But it's a good thing. So, like, you, what are you going to do to me? Kill me? Burn me? Bring it on. I'm going to heaven. I'm committed to Jesus. I want to end with this, and then I want to pray, and we'll sing a song. Is that cool? Yeah. One of my favorite stories, I don't know if I've shared this before, but do you remember when Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in a basketball game? Did you know that? I think a couple years ago, Kobe Bryant, like, one of his last year, it was like 72 points in one game. That was phenomenal. I think 81. Thank you for the correction. But this is with the three-point line. Back in, Chamberlain scored 100 points in one game, no three-point line. 100. I don't think that will ever be broken. They didn't even really have video of the game back then. So this is one of my favorite, it's a true story. After the game, a reporter goes in and interviews Wilt and 100 points and how'd you do that? And he shared, and then the reporter went to one of the guys on the team. He was like the forward on the team. And he says, hey, what do you think about the game today? And he's, this is such a great line. The forward said, this is the best day of my life. He's like, why? And he said, well, today, Wilt Chamberlain and I combined for 102 points. How awesome is that? You didn't really do jack, but the two of us together, we combined for 102 points. He did 100, I scored 2. And that's us. We don't like, we bring like 2 points to the, but God did everything, right? God scored 102. You're like, I'm just so worried and exhausted and tired. But back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, but be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. I said I was going to finish with that, but I'm going to finish with this. I learned how to drive a car with the standard transmission. Yeah. Whoever said that's old like me. They don't make cars like that anymore, I don't think. Maybe they do. Remember that? And my dad took me out on his Porsche. Why would you, what are you doing? Teaching a 16-year-old kid how to drive a stick shift in a Porsche. And my dad was really intense too. He's yelling and screaming. I'm like, I'm nervous. Remember that? It's like, and then you're like, second gear, third. He's like, change it. I'm like, and then you get to a red light. Then it turns green. Do the whole thing, right? Green light. It's just like. And then I was kind of caught on this little hill in Westlake, and it turned green. I'm like, and the car started to go back. I'm like, what? Do I have gas? You know what I'm talking about? It's just so much work. So many Christians are trying to live their life in a standard transmission. Trying to make it happen, trying to make it work, trying to make the marriage thing, trying to get the finance, trying to sell the, trying to make the, build the business, trying to get the front. It's all me. I got to make it happen. I got to graduate. I got to go there. Settle down, settle down. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Again, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead, I think that took a lot of power to get him out of the grave, is the same spirit that lives in me. Same spirit that lives in me. The cross of Christ, our confession of Christ, and our commitment to Christ. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that although the enemy is real and powerful, he has a roaring voice. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God, we make a renewed covenant today. We want to be more committed to you than we've ever been before. And God, we find our strength and our power in you, in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, the cross of Christ. Just real quick, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe somebody watching online, maybe you're in the building, and I talked about our confession of Christ, our confession. There's power in our confession. Again, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, if I can not only believe in my heart, but if I'll confess that, I'll be saved, I'll be born again. We throw out these terms all the time. Saved. Are you saved? You're like, saved from what? Well, saved from a purposeless life here on the earth and saved from judgment and condemnation and eternity separated from God. That's what we're saved from. And we're saved to a relationship with God and we're saved to heaven. But my job is he's already done his work. It's finished. He died. He gave his life. He rose from the dead. And he says, if you'll confess me as your Lord and Savior, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll have to deny you before the Father. I just wonder if there's anybody watching online or anybody in the building that maybe you've never confessed Jesus like publicly, or at one time you confessed him, but you've walked away from him. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Notice the word again, confess. It requires you got to tell someone else, and I'll be that other person for you today. And I want somebody to confess today that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior of your life. I want to start on the far left side of the building, which is my right, Anybody in this section over here, you're saying, man, at one time I confessed the Lord, but I've been walking away from him. Or I've never confessed Jesus Christ publicly, but I want to do it. Would you pray for me, Pastor Steve? I want to invite you to lift up your hand and just lift up your head. And I just want to agree with, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, probably 8 or 9 of you in this section. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anybody here in the two middle sections, just go ahead and lift up your hand. Confess it. Confess. I agree. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In the middle section, I agree with you in Jesus' name. And then off to my left, the far right side. Anybody, just go ahead and lift up your hand. I agree with you in Jesus' name. I agree with you. I agree with you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Praise God. So I don't know, 20, 25 people here in the building. I'm not sure how many people watching online, but I'd be honored if you would repeat this prayer after me. Not just those that lifted their hand, but everybody under the sound of my voice. Father in heaven, this morning, I turn from my sin. I believe in my heart, and right now, let's say it out loud, and right now, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. I declare all the days of my life, not just today, but every day, I will follow you. In your name I pray. And everyone said, amen.
Hey, I'm Steve Abraham, the pastor of New Life Oxnard. Thank you for watching our YouTube channel. You can join us live every Sunday for a new sermon and live worship. Also, be sure to take a minute to subscribe and turn on your post notifications so you don't miss any of our new videos or live streams, and please share with a friend. And if you would like to partner with us in furthering the gospel, please click the link below. Don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for watching, and God bless you.